We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we again thank you for the privilege of gathering together to worship you here in person and via the speaker phones. We pray that you open our hearts now and make them receptive to another precious verse of Scripture which you've given us. And we pray that this verse may be a comfort to us as we take the crosses that our Savior sometimes places upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming our visitors this morning and those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones and those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Our service this morning is coming from the town hall here in the little township of Coon, where we have just had a very joyous occasion. We've witnessed the baptism of one of my grandsons again, Theodore John Kelly. And now we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. Here at Water of Life, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. We started with chapter 1, verse 1, a little over 4 years ago, and now we're in chapter 11. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is called the chapter of the heroes of faith. The Holy Spirit brings before us for our comfort different Old Testament children of God, his elect, who had a divinely given faith, and they worked many miracles and were victorious in many battles. Now at the end of the chapter, he's showing us a little different side of things. He's showing us the sufferings that some of God's children were called upon to endure. And we're going to read verses 35 through 38. We're taking these things one verse at a time. Last week we looked at verse 35. This morning we're going to look at verse 36. And God willing, in the coming weeks, the following verses. But just to give you a little overview of what is happening here. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And now the verse we're going to be looking at. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And then looking ahead, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Kind of set the stage a little bit. In the life of Isaac, there was a very joyous occasion, just as we have experienced a few minutes ago with the baptizing of one of God's little ones. In this case, it was the day that little Isaac was weaned. His father and mother had waited many years for this promised son. Looked like it was never going to happen, but it did. God always keeps his promises. And on the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham threw a great feast in honor of the occasion. It was a happy, happy time. But then we read Sarah. Sarah was the mother of Isaac. Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. The son that Hagar the Egyptian had borne was called Ishmael. And on the day that Isaac was weaned, his mother saw Ishmael mocking her little child. Now, at first reading, this doesn't seem like such a big deal, does it? Anyone who's raised children knows that every once in a while there's little family squabbles come here and there. And it seems like that's all it is. But there's much more here than meets the eye. The Holy Spirit gives us his take on this section in the New Testament book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, as he persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Becomes a little more meaningful now, doesn't it? The persecution of God's children by the devil and his wicked people is no new thing. It's been happening since the dawn of history. And it's not going to stop until the final judgment day. For our comforting and strengthening, the Holy Spirit here in the final verses of Hebrews chapter 11 shows us the power of the Holy Spirit and the God-given faith that will enable God's children to endure what we would call terrible persecutions and mockings for the sake of their faith. They were offered a way out. All they had to do was deny that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and the sufferings would have stopped. But they wouldn't do it. They were looking forward to the resurrection of the dead. They were living for the world to come, not for this world. And they weren't going to sell their souls for physical comfort on this earth. That's to the glory in God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Others had trial of cruel mockings. Cruel mockings. Is there any other kind? All mocking of God's children is cruel. Now, Isaac being mocked by Ishmael might not seem to be so cruel to us, but I'll guarantee you it was a cruel thing to Isaac. Ishmael had been born 13 years before Isaac was born. Isaac had this party where he was mocked by Ishmael when Isaac was weaned, which could have been 3, 4, 5 years. Sometimes the women, Hebrew women, nursed their children for 5 years. And if that would be the case with Isaac, then when Isaac was 5 years old, add 13 years old onto that, and you have Ishmael standing there, a big bully pouncing on one of God's helpless little children. Satan delights in stuff like this. He delights in attacking little ones, little helpless ones. That's part of his game plan. Isaac being mocked by Ishmael may not seem like a big deal to you and to me, but I'll guarantee you it was a big, big deal to Sarah, his mother. And when she saw that going on, her own heart was pierced also, and the heart of his father. Which one of us parents hasn't seen our children mocked and persecuted by children of the devil? Think about it. I've seen it. My wife has seen it with every one of our children. And every time it happened, a sword cut our heart. But this is our calling sometimes, and it's Satan's way. Actions can be as cruel as words sometimes in mocking. Look at what Noah must have gone through. Noah was told by God that there was going to be a flood come that was going to destroy all life on the face of the earth. And Noah was commanded to build an ark. It took him 120 years to build it. And then the flood came. And he wasn't building it on the seashore. He was building it on good, solid earth. For 120 years he was doing that. And the New Testament says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So when people asked him, you know, why are you building an ark? Because the flood coming. God is going to send a judgment upon the face of the earth. You'd better repent. Most of them mocked him. Idiot, this can't happen. And remember, it had never rained yet at that time. The earth was watered like it was in the Garden of Eden. A mist came up every morning and covered the earth, and then it quit, and the sun came out. And the scientists of the day would have said, no, you're crazy. If the mist sometimes doesn't turn itself off, we got thousands of years yet before it would cover the mountains. There's no rush about this. That's what they would have said. What they didn't realize is that the windows of heaven were going to be open and it was going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Well, it had never happened yet. No, but it only had to happen once for God to be right. So this must have gone on for years and years and years, and Noah must have had to bear this, be patient under it. He didn't quit. I can remember a day in high school when I was, I looking back on it, I feel I was being cruelly mocked. And I was in grade school. And we had a science class. And the teacher stood up that day, and I can remember it, and it was many, many years ago, probably 70 years ago for me, and I can remember that it happened yesterday. She stood up, said, I want to tell you two things this morning. First thing I want to tell you is that you're not worth anything. You're the equivalent of a handful of dirt. And the second thing I want to tell you is that the world you're living on, this earth, is not worth anything either. It's only one little tiny speck among billions and billions and billions of bodies out there that are a lot bigger than the earth and a lot brighter than the earth. That's what she said. And for some of that, some of us, you know, it was cruel mocking. It was mocking what I had been taught in Sunday school. And it went against the very basics of my faith. And it bothered me for a while. And when I grew older, I started thinking about it a little bit. The woman that was my teacher, and you know, I was vulnerable at that time. I think all children are a little bit vulnerable to that. We're taught by our parents to respect a teacher. A teacher's there to teach you something and to help you get on with your life. And we all did. We respected the teacher. But the fact of the matter was that she was talking about things that had happened thousands of years ago, and she wasn't there. She was guessing. And I would rather take the word of somebody who was there and did it. And that's how the Bible starts. The opening chapter starts that way. Selected verses from Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And this woman is telling me that I'm not important. That I may be descended from a fish or a monkey. But I'm the equivalent of a handful of dirt. Well, that's not what God says. God said I was created in his own image. In his own image. That's pretty important. That's pretty important. A lot of the image was fallen after Adam fell into sin, granted. But some of it still remains. And when Adam had children, they were in his own image. And our parents have children in their own image. And we're created in the image of God. That's pretty important. That's pretty important. Psalm 139, selected verses. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am not descended from a monkey. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, when in continuance they were fashioned, when as yet not one of them was born. It was not one of them. When my arms were being formed, God was there doing it. When my feet were being formed, God was there doing it. When my eyes were being formed, my ears, God was there doing it. That's pretty important. That's pretty nice to know. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. God didn't just create us and throw us out and kick us out and say, have at it. You're on your own. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Well, how many thoughts does he have toward me? The Almighty God, me, thinking of me. How many thoughts does he have? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Pretty important. A lot more important than a handful of dirt. Isaiah 43, some of the most important, some of the most comforting verses in the whole scripture. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Two words. Fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. I sent my son to die for your sins. I have called thee by thy name. You're not a number. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God names all the stars. He has a name for all the stars, every single one of them. Our scientists can't even give them a number. There's so many out there, they can't even give them a number. God gives each one of them a name, calls them all by their name. Now, if God calls all these stars by name, what do you think is going to relate to you and to me as children? Are we going to be a number? No. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Member of my family. It's pretty important. When thou passest through the water, not if, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You're not going to be alone. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, not into the fire, through it. Through it. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So, she was wrong. I am important. Maybe in her eyes I'm not, but I really don't care what she thinks. In God's eyes, that's what I care. What about the earth that I'm living on? How important is that? Because I look out there and, yeah, she was right about that. We're all numbered. This little earth is a little speck floating around out there. What about the earth? Well, opening words of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is the only book in the world that accurately tells us how matter came into existence. How everything got its start. It started with God. And the Hebrew meaning there is create means to make out of nothing. Now, I don't know how he did it. I just know that he did because he tells me. God isn't hiding, he's telling us. It's up to us whether we want to believe it or whether we don't. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis chapter 1 is chronological. It gives us what happened in 6 days. Day number 1, day number 2, day number 3, 4, 5, 6. Not that hard. That was day number 1. Moving ahead, selected verses in the first chapter, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, now I'm learning a little bit more about the world that I'm living in. It was named by God. God called it earth. That's meaningful to me. Earth must be a pretty important place if God named it. Further down, now we're on day number 4. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights. Now, this isn't rocket science. God made two great lights. The greater to rule the day. What do we call it? Children, what do we call it?
Sun.
The sun. Two great lights. Greater to rule the day. The lesser to rule the night. What do we call that? The moon. Isn't that not hard? He made the sun and the moon. He made the stars also. Now listen to Genesis 1 verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heaven. Why did he put them up there? To give light upon the earth. That's interesting. I was taught in science class, at least in some of them, that the earth is a spin-off from the sun. It's not what God says. God says the earth was created first. It was created first. And the sun was created to give light upon the earth. And the moon was created to give light upon the earth. And the stars were created to give light upon the earth. That's what they were created for. That makes the earth a pretty important place, doesn't it? The whole world, all creation is zooming in on the earth. Why? Because it's going to be the home for mankind. That's why. Man who's made in the image of God. And no, the earth isn't a spin-off of the sun. God made it. He made everything. He caused the grass to grow. He caused the trees to grow and the flowers. He created the fish and the birds and all the animals. Why did he do it? God is a living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Okay, we are living in a day of tremendous scientific advancement, and there's no questioning that. But scientists are not God. It is a fantastic thing, unbelievably fantastic thing, to be able to land a man on the moon. Tremendous, tremendous feat. Or to be able to send a satellite up to Mars and land something on the Mars. And so we've got pictures that have been taken from the surface of the moon and Mars. A tremendous thing. And some things are very beautiful, you know. I've seen some of the pictures. I haven't seen all of them. Maybe you have. Have you ever, in any of these pictures, seen a blade of grass? A green blade of grass. Ever seen that? Ever seen a tree? Have you seen a worm crawling around on the surface of Mars or the moon? You know, if we would see that, the scientists would be excited beyond measure. We've got worms all over the place around here. You don't think a thing of it. Have you seen any animals running around? I haven't. The earth is teeming with life. We haven't found any kind of life like that anywhere else that we've explored so far. It just crashed the surface. But the Earth has one more thing that can say that I don't think any other planet can say or any other star. The Son of God became a human being, and he lived in our world, walking on our planet for about 33 years. I don't know if he ever went to any other place. The Bible doesn't say he did. The Earth must be a pretty important place. Son of God was mocked when he was here too. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Well, if you and I are mocked, let's know this, that the Son of God was mocked also, and we're only following in his footsteps. And the mocking that he endured was greater than the mocking that you and I are going to endure. But there's a blessing for that. There's a blessing for him, there's a blessing for us. Let's remember that. Moving on, they had trials of scourging. This was really rough. The scourges, we're told, were sometimes of wire, sometimes leather, and the leather ones had little pieces of bone attached to them, so that when the scourge hit the back and the bones stuck into the flesh, and when they pulled out, took some of the flesh with, it was painful. Some people even died during the scourging, and this is what the people of God, some of the people of God, endured. In our country, we right now, we can't even begin to relate to the physical part of this. I've never been in danger of being scourged. I got patted on the rear end by my mother and father once in a while, but that wasn't like a scourging that they're talking about. And someday it may happen, I don't know. But there is such a thing as being lashed by the tongue, too. Applications to all of this for each one of us. It's not only the physical thing that's involved. Sometimes it's a spiritual thing. Listen to Psalm 38. This will tell you a little bit about what you should do and how you... "They also that seek after my life make snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long." So he's being scourged by words. How did he react to that? Same way you should and I should. "But I, as a deaf man, heard not." You know, some things that heathen people say aren't even worth listening to. Just block it out. Listen to what God says. "I, as a deaf man, heard not. I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth." You don't have to answer these things. Some things don't deserve an answer. And don't give one. "I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs." And then the fisherman who died by crucifixion tells us this: "Even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." So the disciple's not above his master. If we're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer for it. We're also going to be richly blessed for it. Bonds and imprisonment. The prisons in those days were quite different than what we generally imagine the prisons are like in our own day. All you have to do is read the account of Jeremiah being tossed into the prison. And I'm in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 38, selected verses. "Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire." There were no windows that he could look out and see the sun shining. All there was blackness and mire. And he's let down, down, down into the heart of the earth, to sink down in the mire. Then somebody had compassion on him, took him out. "So Ebed-Melech took men with him and went unto the house of the king under the treasury. and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armpits under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Well, you know, these are some of the things that God's children suffer. We're going to get more, God willing, next week, a few weeks following. But just to kind of wrap things up and put a bow around it, a few points. Number one, if and when you and I are called upon to suffer, remember this. Our Father is in control of every single thing that happens. When the Son of God was being crucified on the cross, what's the first word that he uttered? Father. Father. He always traced everything back to the Father. That's the key. That's the key. And finally, when it was all over, Father again. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. You and I can do the same thing. Don't look at the instruments that are being used to give you the suffering. Don't do that. Don't look down. Look up. Trace it all back to your Father. That's the first thing. Second thing, remember the promise that the Holy Spirit gives you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm beginning at verse 15. All things are for your sakes. The word all means exactly what it says. A-L-L. Everything. That means that all world history is controlled by God. Everything that's happening, I don't care where it is in the world, it's all happening because of you. And it's happening for your good and for your sakes. Remember that. Everything that comes into your life is for your good. Remember that. That's God talking. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many resound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. And we're not going to quit. The saints in the Old Testament that were suffering didn't quit. The ones at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 didn't quit. The Holy Spirit kept them. He'll keep us too. They were weak just like we are. But though the outward man perish, the body starts to waste away, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now listen to what God says here. For our light affliction. I don't know what crosses I'm going to be carrying or you're going to be carrying. I've had some that I think are pretty heavy. God said, no, they're not. I don't give my children heavy crosses. I give them light ones. If I'm thinking that they're heavy, maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. Maybe I'm not tracing it back to the Father who loves me. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's not going to last very long. When you die, they can't persecute you anymore. They're done. It's over. They can't touch you. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what am I going to get out of it, God? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I've got something for you out in eternity. That's why I'm putting you through this. And the suffering that you had was light, but the glory that you're going to get is a weight. And your suffering was only for a short time, and the glory that you get is going to last forever. Is it a good deal? Was it a good deal for Christ with what he suffered on the cross? Read Isaiah 53. Read the last verses of Isaiah 53, and you'll find out. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He'll look at what the Father gave him through all this suffering and say it was really well worth it. Well, what is he going to get? He's going to get a bride. That's what this is all about. He died to wash his bride clean. And he's going to get a bride. He's going to get a kingdom that lasts forever, a kingdom of glory that's never going to end. And he looked back on all this and say it was worth it. We will too. We will too. And then remember the words of Jesus, finally, and this is it. Blessed. That's one of the most beautiful words of the whole Bible. It only applies to God's elect. And I'm not talking about children of the devil here. They have another word, cursed. Ours is blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We'll now join in praying the prayer that our Savior has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all.